You know, I tried to reach out to Matthew Maroon. I used to have his number. I don't apparently have it anymore. But I'm just wondering, you know, they're making a big deal out of the Maroon family giving money to President Trump. I would like to check with them to see if they've given money to any other president over the years, just to get to gauge, you know, in trying to decide what's going on here. It's very funny. I'll never forget our dear friend, and miss him all the time, Hoot McInerney, who used to tell me that he would give, you know, I don't know how much, I'm going to use a figure, $100,000 to the Republican candidate and $100,000 to the Democrat candidate. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm in business. I don't know which one's going to win. So he'd give $100,000 to both of them. It'd be interesting to see. I think you might be surprised in the way money is distributed in politics in this glorious, great country of ours. All right, let's find out a little bit from a legal standpoint what we're dealing with here. Michael Bulata of Bulata Law, federal criminal defense attorney and former federal prosecutor, weighing in on the Supreme Court striking down a number of the president's tariffs. Now, he was mad, there's no question, but he also said, I have another way, and he already has come out with some kind of sweeping new blanket 15% tariff, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Michael, it seemed to me, just standing on the outside, that the Supreme Court was, in fact, following the letter of the law of the Constitution of the United States.
I think you're reading it correctly, and by the way, thanks for having me on, Paul.
We always like having you on, Michael.
But this looks like the Supreme Court finally got to a point where it had to lay down a bright line here. This is a bright line. This is not about whether or not tariffs are good or bad for the economy. This is about presidential power and its limits. And what the Supreme Court said very clearly in a 6-3 opinion with two of Trump's justices that he pointed, Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett, voting with the Justice Roberts majority, the Supreme Court told them, hey, there is a limit to what you can do with executive power when it comes to tariffs. And they said, you know, because Trump was trying to use something called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act to justify imposing all these tariffs, claiming that this was a time of emergency and he was, quote, regulating importation, end quote. And those are the words that the Supreme Court interpreted. What is regulate importation? Because Congress can give the president the power to do anything if it wants to, but Congress said you could regulate importation, but it didn't say you could issue tariffs. And the Supreme Court said tariffs are the same as taxes, and taxes are reserved to Congress. Congress has the sole power to levy taxes under Article 1 of the Constitution. So this is plain and simple an interpretation of the Constitution and a statute, and the Supreme Court saying no to Donald Trump pushing past the limits of executive power. So that's what happened.
Does that mean, Michael, that though he knew he couldn't get this, but if he had gotten the blessings of Congress, he could have done this?
Yes, sure. If there were legislation passed that carved out something for the president to do in a time of emergency to levy tariffs, that would have to be specified. But without specifying it, the Supreme Court said, hey, these words regulate importation. They never say tax anyone. They just say regulate. That could be things like embargoes and just regulating the logistics of importation. So it's simply interpretation of words. That's really what happened here. And the Supreme Court said, no, that regulate importation does not mean the power to impose tariffs. But what I think this means larger for the Trump administration is that at this is a point where now the administration has to really think about, you know, how much further they want to try to push certain areas of you know, their agenda, because they are going to get, they're not always going to get, have a yes man or and women, a woman sitting on the Supreme Court is what it seems like to me. And I think it's a very good sign for democracy and a good sign for the viability and continued longevity of the Constitution.
So what is his plan B, and how does he justify, first he said 10%, but now it's 15%, like a blanket across the board tariff. Does that change anything, or does he have any more power or the same less power or what?
I would have to wait to see exactly what it looks like to tell you, to give you a prediction of whether that will stand or not. But certainly if it, to the extent that it's not specifically justified by a statute where taxation powers are delegated by Congress, I think it'll probably meet a similar fate.
Overall, has America been hurt yet by these tariffs, or not yet, or a little,
yes,
or a lot?
Of course.
I know Apple was. Apple said they paid $3 billion in tariffs over the past three quarters, but I do believe people
Apple
are still buying
really
Apple products.
Do you think Apple's going to take the loss or pass them on to the consumers? And that's what Justice Kavanaugh raised in his dissent. He said, what about, you know, how do you remunerate these people? Do you pay the companies back, or do you pay who got paid the tariff, or do you pay back the consumers who the companies passed the tariff on to? So that's an interesting question.
That worried me from the moment I heard this, that if we got in a position where we had to pay back these billions of dollars, we would be in big trouble.
The president made the mistake, and I don't know if he was listening to, you know, any serious constitutional scholars in his advisory capacity, or if he was just listening to sort of the yes person type lawyer that he tends to surround himself with, in my view. I don't know.
Fascinating to see, that's for sure. Thanks for your help, as always. Cool. Your opinion matters.
My pleasure, Paul.
Michael Bulata of Bulata Law, federal criminal defense attorney, former federal prosecutor. As we continue in focus with Paul W. Smith on News Talk 760 WJR.